Welcome to the Influential Women Podcast, the podcast where we smash adversity and stigmas and chat to women who inspire and motivate us in our own lives. This is Nikki Bannerman, and my influential woman today is Naomi Lambert. Hello and welcome, Naomi.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Now, it's great to speak to you. And as people might have learnt from that slight accent there, you're all the way over in Perth, although you are English, aren't you?
Yes, I was born in the UK, but yeah, Australia based now.
You've picked up that accent already. Now, it's amazing. You're the first guest that we've interviewed that far away. We've done America, but it's amazing. And it's the morning for me and it's the evening for you, isn't it? And you sound like you're just down the road.
I know, it's nice. Yeah, it's only 6 o'clock here. So Perth is kind of the western side of Australia. So we're 3 hours behind the rest of the country.
3 hours behind and 8 hours ahead of us because it's only 9 o'clock in the morning here. So, wow, that's amazing. Thank you for your time. So Naomi is the founder and creator of the Cool to Be Kind project as a social kindness initiative who found us by listening to our Influential Women podcast. How did you find us then, Naomi?
I saw it on Twitter and then I listened to the Samantha Reinke one. And that inspired me because I've had issues, you know, the health issues is kind of, I'm always interested in listening to other people and the adversity that they overcome. So, it was that one. And then I just decided to reach out and find you and see if you were accepting guests.
Oh, definitely the power of the internet. And I'm so glad you're inspired by that. She's incredible, isn't she? I mean,
yeah,
the way she just, you know, just gets on with everything and has such humour. I think it's amazing, isn't it? Amazing. And that's exactly what we're trying to do with our podcast, you know, to tell people's stories of adversity, say, you know, we all have these days and we can come back from it. So,
yeah.
So if it's okay, we wanted to ask you about your journey and you had ovarian cysts that led to a very difficult decision, didn't you?
Yeah, this was in 2015 and after years of just getting these cysts and they would drain them every time I went to the hospital, but it was just getting, you know, more painful and harder to do every time. And my surgeon was brilliant and he said, I think, you know, we're going to have to go around the hysterectomy path but go and see if you can have your eggs harvested then and freeze them. But unfortunately, it got to a point where they wouldn't be able to take eggs. And so the decision was kind of taken out of our hands and became down to my health and getting my life back. So it was 2015 and at 32, I had the full hysterectomy. So to say that that was devastating is an understatement. You know, the pain that came with it and the emotional turmoil and, you know, sudden onset menopause, it was a pretty horrific time.
Gosh, very, very painful and very difficult and still difficult for you to talk about. And so much younger than you had anticipated at 32, you said that's truly heartbreaking. You had surgery 10 times, which is horrendous, and described it as like a dagger to your heart. And I'm so sorry you suffered in that way. And the chance of becoming a mum was so cruelly taken from you. How did you cope with that?
Not very well. I was beyond angry and saddened for, you know, a good 2 years afterwards. I wouldn't leave the house. I had friends who wouldn't tell me that they were pregnant because they didn't know how I would react to it. I had so much support, but I just couldn't face going to the shops or seeing someone with a child. You know, social media became an enemy because everything was, I'm pregnant and this is my baby. And, you know, I'm always happy for other people, but in that period of time, it was a nightmare. And it wasn't until my best friend came over one day, just rocked up with her two kids and she dropped them on the doorstep and said, I'm going shopping, can you look after them? And I had nothing to say, couldn't go anywhere with it. And she left them there. And it was every Tuesday after that, I would look after the kids. She'd go shopping, you know, I'd start taking them to the park and building a relationship with them. And I really think that was a massive turning point for me, just to have someone like that who didn't care if I cried or was angry, or, you know, and also gave me the confidence that to leave her kids with me. I think a lot of what I was feeling was I wasn't able to do the most natural thing in the world. And so I can't look after children because I can't be a mum. Like, a lot of it was in my own head, you know, but as I look back on it now, it's kind of hormonal as well. I was on HRT and the menopause. So I think all of that together was, a bit of a disaster, but we got there.
Gosh, I don't think it was a disaster at all. I think it was just grief and depression, and thank goodness for that friend who saved you and got her some time for herself and turned your life around. That's fantastic. And that's very, positive out of that. It's not always the answer, the route of fostering, adopting or surrogacy, is it, with that strong yearning to want to conceive yourself and the... And that association of a woman's womb, it's so deep and emotive, isn't it?
But the thing is, now when I talk about it and the people that I've reached out to and I'm helping, it is such a common thing these days. It's more common to know someone that has issues with infertility or, you know, has miscarriages and IVF, and, you know, it really is becoming... shouldn't be the stigma around it. And I think for me, a lot of it is talking and helping people to understand that, you know, there is life after such heartache. But one of the biggest things for me was not recognizing that I was allowed to grieve. I was never pregnant, so I can't cry over something I never had. And now I look back, I'm like, well, you lost something that you can't have. So you're allowed to grieve. You're allowed to not get out of bed. You're allowed to do these things. But, you know, back then it was like, well, why? I've got no right. Like, I didn't actually lose anything. And that was, now that I look back, I think that would have been a lot of my healing, was to actually give myself the time to grieve.
Definitely. And it's an unrecognized form of grief. I've got a friend who's had cysts and hasn't wanted to have them removed for the same reason. It's so cruel that, you know, to be robbed of. A nurse was appalling, wasn't she, in terms of what she said to you?
Yep, that was my doctor. One of the, you know, the intern registrar doctors. And it's kind of the only thing that I remember of the actual day of having the hysterectomy is she came to see me in recovery and said, we took your uterus and walked off. And I was like, what? And it was literally that harsh and that quick. There was no remorse. It was just, we had to take your uterus as well. So,
gosh.
Have no words for that, actually. I can't.
That's unbelievable. There was no sensitivity delivered or apology.
None.
I'm like,
you should be really glad that I was actually strapped to the bed, because otherwise I would have run after you and called you out on that, but I couldn't. And where is the empathy in the medical profession to be able to do surgeries on such young people and then just think it's another surgery?
Yes, it's not okay. I know they see, you know, harrowing and beyond, but some sensitivity to people that, you know, as young as you, that's just cruel. So you had to deal with the early menopause that came very suddenly, and HRT at the same time. You felt depleted and had sleepless. You didn't want to go to sleep because of the nightmares, did you?
No. And I still struggle with sleep.
Really?
It's been a big, I can go 3 or 4 days without sleeping and continue, and then suddenly just have to have someone here so I can sleep. And it's getting better, but it was easier to kind of keep myself awake, because there is this moment when I wake up where everything is fine, and then it goes back to, still can't have children. And that's getting less, but I think that was conditioning myself, because I hated having to go through that 2 seconds of thinking things were back to normal.
Oh, but you're so brave in everything that you're doing now. And HRT, does it make you feel feminine and youthful, or scared of getting breast cancer and the rumors about that and horse urine and things people
No.
say about it? It felt fine.
I'm not on HRT anymore. So I put on 30 kilos with it, and I was on
Wow.
patches. And in the end, I just went to my doctor and kind of told her how I was feeling, because there are, part of not being able to sleep could have been attributed to that. And in the end, with gym and exercise, going to the gym, exercising, eating better, I lost the weight, and I now don't have to be on it. But I'm monitored, in terms of bone density and vitamin D levels, things are still monitored, but I'm one of the ones who isn't on it.
Gosh,
But what I would say to people is that needs to be managed by your doctor. It's not
definitely.
something that you should just stop
Gosh,
taking.
the ramifications of it all, they're huge, aren't they? Huge. And that will help a lot of women out there. I think, normally the menopause would come on gradually, but it would just be so suddenly for you that actually is quite frightening as well, I should imagine.
It was horrific. It was probably one of the worst things because I was told it would come on quickly, but we are talking within an hour kind of thing. I was
Really?
still in recovery, so you're on pain meds, you've got a catheter in, you can't move, you've got drains, and then I had just had this get me naked, I don't want to have anything on me, I'm sweating, I was itching. I ended up in a room with four other ladies, and I had all the fans around me and still wanted to be naked. It was so bad. I couldn't,
Oh my goodness,
couldn't, yeah,
the
it
dreaded
was
menopause.
just.
Actually, I've got a lot of friends in Australia. I used to live in Australia, and I'll tell you a story about that later. But she said that there is something online that people can look up called the Seven Dwarfs of the Menopause. Have you seen that? And it's
No, I
like,
might have to look
you have to
at.
look at that. It's like itchy, bitchy, and then all these other dwarfs' names. And it's just, sleepy. It's really funny. You have to look that up, and we'll try and put that out on
I
social
will.
media as well.
I
That'll
think I
cheer you
turned to mum and I was like, I'm so sorry if I was horrible to
up.
you, and for anyone says that it's not real, because this
Yes.
is hell. Like, put me through the
Yes. I
surgery
think we
ten
all
times
think that
again.
when we're older about our lovely parents. So you had two options to come back out of this experience that you've described, didn't you? The rabbit hole of despair and sadness, or to find a way to make an impact in the world. And thank goodness you chose the latter. Good for you. You found your gift that led to hope. So, what did you do with your eureka moment?
My eureka moment was stepping outside the confines of my house and going to the local shopping centre, where I saw a teenager who had two adults in tow, and I'm presuming it was parent, who knocked an old lady, he knocked an old lady over coming into the shopping centre, and none of them stopped. They did not even look back. And I could not. The anger, I'm not an angry person, but I was immediately just went to help the lady. I then wanted to run after them and yell at them, but in my head, I was like, how can I was so upset that I can't be a parent with, I would try as much as I could to parent them the right way. And there are people doing that. And I couldn't get my head around that people just have, were so insensitive that they couldn't even stop or look back or even care. And I couldn't sleep that night. So at 3 a.m., I got up and decided to design small kindness cards. And on them, I put suggestions for people with things they could do to be kind in the lead up to Christmas. And this was 2017. And I did 50 of them and hid them around, my hometown of Perth, and I flew to Adelaide and left them on the plane. And because I had no expectation of response, I didn't tell a soul. And the emails started coming in. And in the end, I'd had 32 responses of what people had done in the lead up to Christmas. And they'd all done things that I hadn't suggested, hadn't suggested to them to do. And yeah, it was that, at that point I was like, I think I've found my reason. I remember calling mum and saying, this is what I did, this is what happened. It's just made everything worthwhile. And one of my friends got onto one of the newspapers who ran it as a New Year's Day story here. And our local MP got onto it and she said, come and meet me for a coffee. And she's the first Muslim MP in Australia, in our area. So I remember meeting her and she gave me the biggest hug and just said, if you're not going to run with this and do something with this, I'm going to take it from you. Because I just love what you're doing. We need more of this.
Brilliant.
So she wouldn't have let me off the hook and I just decided to start the Cool to Be Kind project. And 2 years on, we're still going. So
good for you. Good for you. That moment of madness at 3 a.m., which you were always up at 3 a.m., weren't you? Another time you were baking cakes for friends' kids and being really productive, weren't you? I think it's because you're still English, really, is that that's only 9 o'clock over here in the evening, isn't it? But you found your true meaning. It's a bit like a treasure hunt, isn't it? And then they contact you. But that's amazing. 32 out of 50. That's a pretty high result. And what a brilliant 4%
thing. 4%, my husband.
Oh, you've worked out the percentage. There you are.
I'm terrible at math.
Oh, that's brilliant. 64%. So he's very proud, you see. And that's pretty high for, you know, even mail order campaigns only get 1-2%. So your global kindness initiative is working. And it's funny, it reminded me of, I sent a message in a bottle once out to sea and I didn't put my name and address in. I put my best friend's name and address in as a teenager. And months later, this is from the UK South Coast, she got a letter through the post from France. And she said to me, I've got this really weird letter from someone in France. And we discovered it's because I put her note in the bottle. It had reached France from the UK. So I was like, it worked. And she was like, what are you on about? So that I couldn't stop laughing. But you found your legacy. So people stumble across your cards spontaneously. And so I can see a card here and it says, be merry and bright. And it's got this beautiful star with this radiating rainbow of colours coming out of it. And I can't see what it says underneath.
The Cool to Be Kind project. And then on the back of them, these were the Christmas ones, and it just says, time for you to brighten someone's day, spread kindness, tell others. Kind people still exist. Be one of them this Christmas.
Oh, wonderful. And then has it got an email or something to contact you?
Yeah. It's got the website address and the email.
Oh, brilliant.
On it as well.
And then people tell you what they've done because they want you to be proud of them as well. That's awesome.
I'm so proud. I still get teary with some of the original responses that I got. You know, a gentleman who was working in corporate decided not to go to his Christmas party and instead took the homeless gentleman that he'd acknowledged for years out to lunch.
That's so
at a
lovely.
Five-star restaurant.
Oh, wow.
I had kids, right? Must have been a kid who wrote, I washed mum's car without her asking. She was stoked, and so stoked in Australia means she was beyond happy.
She was chuffed, yes.
So,
oh,
yeah,
that's so lovely.
Very, really nice things.
Nice gestures. So do you think everyone is more friendly and approachable in Australia then, or this works all over the world then? Do you do it all over the world?
I have had kindness cards found in Arizona, Philadelphia. You know, whenever I travel, I take them. Recently, responses from someone who had one in Paris and Thailand. So it's starting to grow,
wow.
Which is just amazing.
It's
so
brilliant.
When I get those emails, I'm surprised you can't hear me scream from the UK. I'm like, oh.
That's so cool. And are you getting corporate funding or anything for this or sponsorship or help with growing it?
No.
So that's what
moment.
We need. We need some companies
that
on
would
board.
Be something. Because I do everything myself because I love to do it. So all the design work and the cards, but I'm also still printing them all here and sending them out, which is fine. Except last week I got an order from New Zealand for 185 cards, which
wow.
is a lot. So.
But you charge them for that? Yeah.
Yes, yeah, we charge them.
Yes, so as long as you're not doing it completely for nothing, and good for you. Gosh, we need more people to be on board with that. So we all hear that gratitude journals and writing lists at night to let go of negative thoughts give us positive energy from the universe, but yours is literally sending kindness and karma and kindness coming back. So do you have a lot of kindness coming back to you?
I do. Even yesterday, so when I came out of the hospital after having my arm in a cast, and I was at the supermarket and the girl in front of me asked if she could help me unstack my shopping, and she was in a school uniform, so still at school. And I was just like, oh, that's amazing. And even on World Kindness Day last year, which was in November, I decided to take $50 and see how far I could make it spread. So I went to our shops and I bought 50 bags and put cards in them, so the next 50 people that asked for bags didn't have to pay for them. And I went back later on because I'd forgotten the milk. And the lady said to me, you'll never believe what happened. We gave one of your bags out and the next lady always loved it so much, she bought 50 to pass on to the next people.
Wow.
And for me, that was just like...
Really cool. Oh, it's so lovely, isn't it? People remember kindness more than anything. They really do. So good for you. And, you know, you've said in some of the articles I've read, when you're feeling low, do something uplifting for others. We all have good days and crappy days. And that's so true, isn't it? And actually, the other day I had a bit of a crappy day. So I went out and bought a homeless man a sandwich and everything and stood chatting to him for a while. And it does make you feel better, doesn't it? You know, it's easy to get hung up on self-pity and, you know, annoying situations. But we have to think, you know, we're alive. Let's make a difference to someone else, don't we? And actually,
every time I go out now, it's, I can just see so many opportunities to do it. And I'll just go and sit in the shops and help people with their shopping. And I just love it. So when I'm having a bad day, that's kind of my hobby, is to be able to go out and see how I can help someone else.
Yeah, costs nothing, but it means everything, doesn't it? Yeah. You had a lovely story where you'd said, you know, you'd let a gentleman, an old gentleman, go in front of you, and he said he was so puzzled no one had been kind to him for years. And that's terrible, isn't it? Terrible. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever listened to Dr. Rangan Chatterjee's podcast I've started listening to. He's so inspiring, a doctor. He has such wisdom and life experience, an inspiring guest. He said that we all feel better when we do something for others, and he's got so much wisdom. I'm quite into that now. So we had another guest on who founded Gateway Women, who you'd mentioned in one of your articles, Jodie Day. She's actually on our back catalogue and they're all available to download. She's fighting for diversity, actually, for them as well. So it's eye-opening. One thing that she told me, actually, that I always try and remember, is that you don't need to ask people if they have children or if they have a husband or when they're having children or whatever, because she said that people always tell you within the first 5 minutes. And I've been more aware of that now because I have two teenagers myself. And I think, gosh, actually, you do talk about them when you're talking to people within the first 5 minutes. And I'm very aware of that now with other people that, you know, if they're not married or you don't know if they're married or you don't know if they're happy or divorced or struggling or got children or not got children, actually they do tell you about their life without you asking. And it's a kinder way, isn't it?
I do think people need to be more aware of asking. You know, people get married and it's like, so when are you having children? And that really, I know from the people that I've spoken to and my experience as well, it's one of the worst things you can ask someone because you don't know who's struggling with it. And I know people are just trying to be friendly, but you're right. If they've got kids or it's on, it'll get talked about. But actually coming out and asking that question is really hard if someone's going through a tough time.
Definitely, definitely. So this will make people more mindful. So you've really learned to give and receive kindness. Has it changed your life then?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I think I said to my husband, you know, 6 months into this, I'm never going to another job interview again. Like I'm not bringing in heaps of money, but just to know that I can go out and make a difference is, it's so gratifying. And I'm using my experiences to try to help other people. So yeah, it's 100% changed my life. I am more mindful. I'm I even have a fear when I go out that if I walk past a piece of rubbish and someone sees me at my local shops, then what are they going to think if, well, you're trying to preach kindness and you didn't do it? So there's little things like that that I'm always
guilt.
Like, it's just, again, it's just in my head. Because
good for you. You're a really good being on the planet, aren't you? And is your husband kind as well? Does he take cards with him? I mean, he must have suffered too as well.
Yeah, he has. He has. But he's very, very supportive and, yeah, on board. So when I'm doing special things or days when I want to give out cards, then he'll take them and leave them at work. And yeah, it's good to have him, his
good
support,
for him.
Not only with this, but he's never put me under pressure to consider whether or not we foster or adopt. And I haven't really been at a point where I've been ready to think about that. But now I can, I was always like, nope, done, you know, fine, can't go through it anymore. And now I would open my doors, but I really would think about fostering. There are so many kids that need
wow.
it.
Oh, wow. And you'd be brilliant, and you'd teach them kindness, and you're still young.
Youngish.
A girlfriend of mine in Australia had twins, and I know IVF's very different in different countries around the world, but she had twins at the age of 54 in Australia.
Oh, wow.
So you're very young. I read that you'd said about kindness that it improves our well-being and our health, it makes us happier, reduces stress, supports mental well-being, and makes other people happy, you know, nurturing others. So it's really good for us, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. And there's been study upon study that shows that it makes you feel better, you know, and obviously makes the other person feel better. But I do challenge someone to go out, do something kind, and then tell me that they don't have a smile on their face.
Definitely,
afterwards.
And feel better. And do you go into companies?
And it doesn't matter what you do. It's just
exactly.
So many little things.
Definitely. And do you go into companies or schools or anything?
I'm nearly finished writing a program for schools. Because I really think getting kids from a young age to be kind really will change the shape of, you know, them growing up and how they perceive the world. So an aim for this year is to get into schools, but I was lucky enough last year to launch the program into one of my old workplaces, which deals with disability employment. And went in there to launch the program, kindness program, for 12 months. So the first one, we gave cards out, and it was about valuing others. And then this place has had issues with sexual harassment and, you know, bullying. And then because the mental capacity isn't there, they'd had so many issues with it. By the time I'd finished talking, I had people going up to a lady in the wheelchair saying, I'll push you back to work. Do you want me to, you know, put your rubbish in the bin? And, oh, we've got a spare seat. Do you want to sit here? It's and one great. Of the older guys that I'd helped years ago came up to me, and the topic was valuing others. And he asked me what I thought it was and valuing others. And I told him. And he said, well, can I just say thank you to you, because you valued me when you were working here, and it really changed my life. So thank
wow.
you.
And oh, that's like, really touching for everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, it makes us go all goosebumpy.
Like that,
that's
it's
so
all
true.
The comments that I need.
Definitely,
yeah,
definitely. I think, you know, that people don't forget kindness. You know, people have been kind to me in my life, and you really don't forget that. And I try and tell my teenagers, you know, where people have been kind, I try and tell them stories about the kindness, because I think that they need to remember, you know, to be illustrated what to them what kindness is, so that they can go on and be kind. Because you're right, particularly with social media and everything else, and teenagers and the pressures on them now, is that it's very easy for them people to be unkind to each other. So that's brilliant.
And when
what you're
I
doing.
Started it all. So officially started in 2018, and it was around the same time that we had a 14-year-old girl here commit suicide because of cyberbullying. And it's so common now. But I remember messaging her mum and dad, and I got a message back just saying, thank you so much for what you're doing. It would have meant a lot. And I've actually written a kid's book now, which is being published in the UK.
I didn't know that.
I'm so lucky. And yeah,
really, what's that called?
Straight away. It's going to be called One Kind Day. So we're in the process of publishing it now. So hopefully it'll be out this year.
Wow, you've definitely found your purpose. Wow, that's brilliant. Meeting MPs and whatever you're and being on the telly. Wow. You've said that everyone has fears. We've talked about others. They fear pain, unrequited love, failure, injury, illness, and worry about what could and not what will happen. And it was your fear that drove you to do something so positive, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think when I saw what I saw in the supermarket, I knew that that wasn't right. And it just kind of gave me an opportunity to reevaluate what I was doing and how I could then make a difference. So I think a lot of what we have as fears is all in our own, it's in our heads, but it's also, we're conditioned by the media and society to say, you've got to, go to uni, finish school, get married, have children, retire at this age. But we don't need to stick to that as a plan. You need to do things in your own time.
That's so true.
So
you're parenting the world, really. There you are. That's
trying
brilliant.
To.
It's a much bigger project. So life hands us things that don't make sense. And I read a quote actually that said somewhere that life has to be lived forwards, but can only be understood backwards, which I think is so obvious, isn't it? When things start to happen in our lives.
Yeah, very much. And another one that I like is the Rumi one. And it's live life as though every day is rigged in your favor. And when you look back at things that happened and where you are now, I'm like, okay, now I understand why that happened. And I do have the mindset now that life is rigged in my favor. I just may not recognize it right at this present moment. But that quote in itself has changed my mindset and my ability to want to keep going and living.
Definitely.
As well. So,
gosh, I think you only have to sort of think differently, don't you? And you can feel your whole mindset and mood and everything just shifts. So what would you say to others facing challenges they're battling to overcome and find it difficult to come back from?
Well, don't put pressure on yourself. Often we don't have a choice with what is going on. If it's medical issues or you lose a job, these are things that are out of your control. But not let your problem define you. I think a lot of it, I had to not let the fact that I couldn't be a mum define me. I wasn't going to be known as, oh, that's Naomi with no kids. Oh. I'd rather be known as, oh, that's Naomi who's developed kindness and this is what I do because of it. So it was the mindset, and give yourself time, whether you're an individual or a couple. Honestly, it doesn't matter if it takes you a week or 6 months. You just need to, you'll know when it's ready. And quite honestly, I did go to bed after I'd done these cards and I woke up the next day and my heart didn't hurt as much as it had the night before. And I know that sounds cliched, but that was how. And it took me 2 years. I'm still healing. It'll always be hard. But find a focus and don't let society or people's opinions tell you what you can or can't do. If this is something that you feel that you'll succeed in or will make you smile, then hell, go for it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Who have you met that was influential to you then?
The federal MP, whose name is Anne Alley, is hugely, we're friends now. And it's great to have someone like that who there's no bullshit with her and will tell me whether I'm doing a good job or not. So that's definitely would be top of my list. There's a radio host here called Heidi Anderson, and she is really inspirational to me because she's had mental health issues and she's no hold, like she doesn't sugarcoat it. She's just had a baby and, you know, I love people that speak freely in wanting to help others. So she's definitely one. But I think the biggest thing was actually having my story tweeted by Arianna Huffington. So I haven't actually met her, but she tweeted it.
That's brilliant.
Last year, and I didn't use Twitter, so I missed it. And by a few weeks, like I was just Googling to update the website and I saw this and I was like, oh my God, how did I miss that?
That's so cool.
So yeah, that was
put it on your website immediately.
Yeah.
That's so brilliant. Wow. And you know, she's massive. So what do you do when you're not working? Make lots of cards by the sound of it. Stay up baking. Bake.
I am pretty much working all the time. And that's this year I've made a conscious effort to kind of shut the computer at 5. I think when you're working at home, it's very hard or very easy to get consumed by it. But I think for my own health and well-being, the computer gets shut at 5. And won't open again till I wake up, which is usually about 11.
Sorry, I've taken you beyond your curfew tonight.
No, it's fine. I love to cook and I found a lot of help in writing as well, definitely. So keeping journals and writing magazines and peer support as well. I really enjoy getting contact with people and helping them through through their journey. So baking. Wow. I think I said 3 a.m. baking. I love to do cooking. I love
that's
reading
brilliant.
And I love spending time with my surrogate nieces and nephews now, who wouldn't have been able to say that 2 years ago. Oh, but now I'm like, I love just seeing them and spending time with them.
And I think I know you made birthday cupcakes for your friends, but I think you could have a business there as well, because you know, to make them at 3 a.m. and have fresh cakes in the morning for people that just don't have a second to do that, gosh, you'd be a heroine on that front too. So you've talked about a quote there. Do you have a mantra for living your life?
Yeah, life is now.
Oh, I like that. That's so true. So many people miss that. Life is now. I like that. Now, you've talked about influences in your life, and I read in some of your Australian articles, you mentioned two people. You mentioned Jodie Day and Gateway Women, who we've talked about and has been on. And you mentioned the Dalai Lama and the paradox of our age and modern life struggles. And how did he inspire you?
I just liked what he said there. I can't even remember exactly how it was written, that quote, but just kind of summed up life in general, you know, that his paradox. So,
he's incredible, isn't he? Incredible.
Yeah.
And
just actually, imparting knowledge at an age, and it's advice that's relevant as well, I think.
Definitely.
Him.
And that was a weird serendipity thing as well, because you'd put that in your message. And bizarrely, when I used to live and work in Australia myself, I saw him speak, because he came to Australia a long time ago and spoke at a stadium there, and I saw him, and then I went back to get my car from a hotel in Melbourne, and I was standing by the lift, and I'm not joking, he was standing by the lift as well, within 6 feet of me, and there was nobody else apart from his gentleman that he had with him and a girlfriend that I was with. There was no one else in the foyer, and I was just
starstruck.
I was starstruck, dumbstruck. I didn't know what to say, whether to speak to, and I just smiled at him and he smiled back, and I just thought that was amazing. One of the most
that's
amazing
the kind of
moments
moment
of
when
life.
You don't even need a photo. I think it's so
I know
it's a memory that you're going to have.
Exactly. Yeah. And it wouldn't have been
so
the dumb
important
thing to speak to him or to ask for a photo. Yeah. Exactly. It was a message on a deeper level. But no one knows that. It was only because you mentioned the Dalai Lama. I just thought, wow, that was, I'm still in awe of that in a lifetime. So what's next for you then? Your book?
My book, whenever that comes out this year, hopefully. obviously continuing to do the kindness cards. Are we looking at getting other merchandise as well down the track? But I'm starting to write kind of my autobiography because I've had, I just think that would help people. So I've started to pen that. And ideally I'd like to start a podcast, but I don't want to call it a podcast. I want to call it a kindcast.
Oh, wow. That's a good name.
Yeah.
So that's a first.
So podcast is a kindcast. So yeah, that's what I want to do.
Well, that's a good idea because actually podcasts were only called podcasts because, you know, when people started to have iPods, which actually some people don't even remember them now. So actually that's a brilliant thing. Wow, you've got so much happening and so many, you know, people do need to hear your story and this is why it's all happened. You know, it's amazing. I love what you're doing, your global kindness.
I need to tone down my ideas though. I'll get an idea and I'm like, right, let's run with this straight away. Like at Christmas, I got some four friends together and said, let's see how many kindness messages we can send in 24 hours. So this was the Friday before Christmas and I decided to do it on the Tuesday. So on the Friday, we started sending messages and I think in 24 hours, I sent 4,721 kindness messages from people and did it on social media.
You could get an award for that. Can't you get a Guinness Book of World Records thing for that?
I think I'd probably need to tell them in advance.
Yes, do it again. That's brilliant.
But my ultimate goal, I have to admit, is getting on Ellen because I just
haven't
got to that yet. So that's on the top of the list this year.
And mine, and Oprah. Can we come with you? But be kind to us.
Of course.
Thank you. So anything else influential you want to add to send out to the world?
I am inspired by everyone, you know, in the grand scheme of things. It doesn't matter who you are or what you do. We can all be inspirational. And I think just allow I love to be influenced by people who are kind to me or I see pay it forward. Like that's what it's about. It's not about the celebrities or that. It's just about, you know, allowing yourself to be influenced and you can take messages from everyone. And I'm so lucky to be where I am and to be able to do this. And I've got so many avenues it can go in. I'm not constrained by it, but I also know that I've had the pain and the heartache. But if that inspires someone else to wake up the next day and open their hearts a bit more, then I love that I've got the ability to do that.
Oh, well, they're very wise words and you're one influential and inspiring woman too. And thank you for reaching out to us. That's
so
lovely.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And good luck with all your global kindness movements and initiatives. I'm sure we'll read about you all over the place and see you on Ellen one day.
I'll be in the UK in July, so I'm coming for 5 weeks.
Oh, well, get in touch. Get in touch.
I might have to look people up and come and say hello.
Get in touch. We'll come and have a kindness party and meet up with you. That'd be lovely. And then we'll sit next to Ellen on the sofa as well. We'll sort that.
Okay. You get
We'll sort it.
Kindness cards. You get Ellen.
We'll sort it. Brilliant. Thank you so much, Naomi, for your time, for your kindness mission, for helping us to think differently, for changing our mindsets about kindness to others and paying it forward. And good luck with making the world a kinder, better and happier place. Thank you so much. This Influential Women's Podcast is co-founded and host presented by Nikki Bannerman with award-winning co-founder and co-producer Juliet Nichols. Please follow us on Instagram, influential_women_podcast, and on Facebook at our private group, or email Nikki at nikkibannerman.co.uk with any collaborative ideas going forward.